I'd ask you to please turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Now, we know that we are living in difficult days in this world. There is much upheaval, and there is a growing, increasing opposition to the Church of the Living God. And we are being increasingly tested, even in our nation, to stand for what is right and to stand faithful by God's grace to the gospel and to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ knew the age in which we will be living in this morning, and just before he went to glory, went back to ascended up on high in his glorified body, Jesus spoke these remarkable words, which are relevant to the end of time, and they are given to us to encourage us this morning, to encourage us in our own endeavors in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And it is on that authority that we go forth into the world and we preach the gospel to all nations, making disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them according to the commandment of the Lord Jesus. And he has promised to be with us even to the end of the age. And so this morning we are considering, for our encouragement, the unique authority of Christ. The unique authority of Christ. And we are considering the final words of the Lord Jesus recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew after his resurrection. This is the most holy time on earth. The risen Lord is just about to leave this earth to return to heaven in his glorified, resurrected body. Now, the words of a dying believer entering glory are often of great significance and purpose, and they often bring praise to God. But here we have the words of Jesus, the perfect man, in his resurrected body just before his ascension. And they are words of direction and commission. And they are prefaced by words of assurance and demonstrating to us his God-given authority. We are commissioned to preach the gospel until the end of the age. And on this basis, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so this morning our message centers on the God-given authority of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, the gospel of God clearly calls us to repent of our sin and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and follow him as Lord. That is the very essence of the gospel. We cannot enter heaven. We cannot be right with God without repenting of our sin. And we cannot be right with God without believing only in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we cannot be right with God unless we submit our whole being by faith to Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives. The gospel of God tells us and calls us to depend our whole life and our future upon Jesus Christ as the Lord of our life. And such saving faith means that we need to have supreme confidence in Jesus Christ as both God and man. And to encourage such God-given faith this morning, we are given several instances of the authority of Jesus Christ in Scripture. God has not left us without witness. He has granted the revelation of his Son in his word, the Bible. And I want to consider some of these evidence of authority, which hopefully will encourage you this morning to deeper and greater faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." And I'd like to look first of all at the authority of the Lord Jesus in creation, at the beginning of time. Because God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit worked in perfect unison in the great and glorious work of creation. And at the beginning of the Word of God, we read, it is recorded that God said, "Let us make." And that is in the plural. It means that when God says, "Let us," he's referring to the fact, the truth, that God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all equally God in one Godhead. But in this great pinnacle of God's creative work, the formation of men and women, we are again reminded of the Trinity, that God saw this work that he had done, and it was very good. But in God's sovereign will, it is ordained that central to this authoritative work of creation by the triune God, there should be a centrality in the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Proverbs describes this in beautiful language, speaking of Christ. "Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, explains this vital point for the believer's faith, for us to be truly encouraged in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." He's not only the firstborn from the creation, he's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. "For it pleased the Father that in him," that is in Jesus Christ, "all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." And so it is, God the Father intends our saving faith to be focused upon the authority of his Son, Jesus Christ, as Creator. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." Secondly, I want us to consider his authoritative wisdom. We are told in the Bible that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this is an incredibly and absolute statement this morning to encourage your faith and confidence in Christ. Because in this one person you are trusting, and you come to the Father through God the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, in this person, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior and the Lord, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There is no wisdom and there is no knowledge outside of Christ. And so as you trust in him, you are coming to the one in whom is hidden all the wisdom you need, all the knowledge you need, not just for time, but for eternity. And it is clear from an early age, while here upon earth, that Christ displayed aspects of his divine wisdom. On a visit to the temple, he was aged only 12. And at the age of 12, he was able to engage with the greatest religious leaders of the day. We read, and so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, that's his earthly parents, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Are you not astonished at the understanding high priest that you worship and trust in this morning? Are you not astonished that he knows more about you than you know about yourself? Are you not astonished that Jesus knows the past, the present, and the future all about you? On several occasions in his ministry here on earth, it is recorded that people were astonished at his wisdom. They were overwhelmed. Now, Jesus had not been to college. He'd not been to seminary. But authoritative wisdom was simply part of Christ's being. He is the Word made flesh and dwelling among us. In Christ is centered all the wonders of the Word of God. Well, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. But what of his authoritative power? On one occasion, Jesus and his disciples were on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was asleep in the boat. A terrible storm blew up, inasmuch as the boat was filling with water, and there was danger of drowning. Yet Jesus remained asleep in the boat. So his disciples cried out to him in fear, "Do you not care that we perish?" And Jesus arose, he rebuked the wind and the waves, and immediately it was calm. And the disciples exclaimed, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the waves and the water, and they obey him." But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is displayed an even greater power than this over the elements. Than the power he has over the elements and over creation. There's an even greater power. The Lord Jesus has the power to forgive your sins. And you look back over your life, and I look back over mine, and there are times often, perhaps when we're feeling quite low, then our failures often get magnified in our mind. It's not necessarily unhealthy if we know what to do with those failures and bring them to the Lord Jesus, but it's humbling. It's humbling for us when we are reminded of things we could have done better and our failures and the time when pride has been motivating us in our life and we've been in our own spirit and we have to go on our knees and confess before the Lord, "Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, be merciful to me." And we are reminded that this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has the power, the authority, the power to forgive sins. And there was a time when he was here upon earth when 4 men brought their paralytic friend to Jesus to be healed. And there was a crowd around Jesus. You know this story well. And I'm seeking just to express this these principles of the authority of Jesus in a very simple way this morning. And there was a crowd around the Lord Jesus in the house. He was teaching. What to do? They couldn't get in. So they let their friend down through the roof. And when Jesus witnessed their great faith, the faith of this man and the faith of his friends, he said to the paralytic man, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you. And this caused such a stir among the religious leaders. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Very true statement. But Jesus is the Son of God. And so Jesus, as the Son of God, made man, demonstrated his mighty power. And when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, they were thinking these things. They were not discussing them openly with Jesus, but Jesus, as the Son of God, knew what they were thinking, even though they were not expressing it verbally. He perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves. He said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? What is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose. He took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this before." And when Satan comes to you and says, "Oh, God isn't powerful enough to forgive all your sins. Some of them, but not all of them. Those very dark ones." No, no, no. But the Lord Jesus Christ has the authority to forgive sins. And he showed this here. It was easier for the Lord Jesus to heal a paralytic than to forgive sins. But because he just showed that he could heal this paralytic man, he just showed, this is just some of my power. This is just an example of it. But I have the power. I have the authority on earth to forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. And he does this through the authority and person and work of his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember this morning, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." But then what about his authoritative teaching? When Jesus preached, he did so always in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the people flocked to hear him. They didn't flock just to see a man. They predominantly flocked to hear this teaching. Why? Because they said his messages had power and authority. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And what? How did this authority manifest itself? Well, Jesus spoke to the heart. Jesus spoke to the heart. And Jesus spoke to the mind. And Jesus spoke to the imagination. It was truth alive through preaching. It came into the person's very inner being, into their soul. And towards the end of his ministry here on earth, the religious leaders sent the temple guards to arrest Jesus. And they wanted him brought in for questioning and accusation. But the guards returned without Jesus. And the religious leaders said to him, "Why haven't you got Jesus? It has enough of you guards to arrest one man. What's gone on here? We sent you out with a mission to arrest him, and you've come back without him. What's happened here?" And they replied, "We have never heard anyone speak like this man. We've never heard it like this before." And you know your well-known account of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. The disciples, there on those two disciples, they said, "Did not our heart burn within us?" Not while he did a miracle before us, but while he talked with us, while he expounded to us all the scriptures. It was truth alive under the power of the Spirit. That's what stirs our emotions, dear friends. That's what creates the heart burning. The Holy Spirit working upon the Word of God and so stirring our inner being. The authority of the Word of Jesus Christ was so powerful, it overwhelmed them. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." But what of his authority as Savior? When Jesus came to the end of his life on the cross at Calvary as the Savior of the world, he cried, "It is finished." Now, for somebody to be able to cry, "It is complete, it is finished," on such a great subject as the eternal well-being of billions of people, ordained unto eternal life, making up the church of the living God, for this one person to say, "It is finished, it is accomplished, God's justice is satisfied," only the Son of God could have said that here on earth. And Jesus had the authority to say, "It is finished." And you see, when we try and add to salvation, when we try and add to the way of salvation, we are doing the greatest dishonor to God. Because Jesus has already said to you, "It is finished." And when Satan comes along and perhaps other people come along and say to you, "Yes, but you need this and you need this and you need this," in addition to the gospel, Jesus said, "It is finished." And he knew. And he had the authority to say, "It is finished." And immediately after that most wonderful statement of assurance and knowledge and understanding, "It is finished," the mighty power of God rent the veil of the temple. And it was torn from top to bottom. And it showed that now, through the saving work of Christ upon the cross, access is made to the throne of God in prayer. And the Bible says that God is able to save unto the uttermost all those that come unto God through him. And the word "uttermost" means that Christ has the authority and the power to save perfectly and completely. No one is turned away that comes to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will see here it says, God is able to save unto the uttermost all those that come unto God through him. And you can come in the all here this morning. You can plead that all, that little word "all" in that text this morning before God. "Oh, gracious God, you have said in your word, you have said about the authority of the Lord Jesus that God is able to save unto the uttermost all those that come unto God through him." The secret is to come through the Lord Jesus. But then what of his authority in life? Jesus described himself as the light of the world, having the authority and power to give eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And then later he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life." Not just natural life, eternal life. "And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Not even terror, not even bombs, not even destruction, not even death can snatch us out of the hand of Christ and the hand of God the Father." On one occasion, Jesus was taken rest by a well, and he struck up a conversation with a Samaritan woman. And there was no racial barriers with Jesus. He was a Jew. She was a Samaritan, and the disciples couldn't believe this. "We have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you talking with this woman?" But Jesus was speaking to this woman, and she was amazed because she herself wondered, because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She herself wondered at this. And Jesus, in his conversation with her and his ministry, said, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Do we know who Jesus is this morning? Do we really know who he is? Do we really know that he has the authority to give us everlasting life? And later the woman came under conviction of sin when she realized Jesus, the Messiah, Christ, the Son of God, knew all about her life on earth, her immorality. And she returned to the city and said, "Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Could this be the Christ?" In this encounter, we're given a vivid picture of the authority and power of Christ to change a life for eternity, because all power has been given to him in heaven and on earth. But this is not all. What of his authority in intercession? The only authority, the only intercession that has authority before God the Father is that of the Son and of the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ is at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for all who call upon him. And here at the Father's right hand, there is the authority of his person and of his work. Beside the Father in glory is the only beloved Son with pierced hands and feet, the outward evidence in his glorified body of his perfect sacrifice. And Jesus can say, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He has that authority now as we speak. We can come to him. We can trust in him, believe in him, seek him. But what about his authority over death? It is against his greatest foe of life that the authority and power of Christ rises to its glory. The very ultimate end of salvation is eternal life in glory, in the new heavens and in the new earth. And those that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are given the victory over eternal death, and they have eternal life in them. And so Paul says, look into the Lord Jesus Christ and his authority and power. He says, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of the law, sin is the law." When we're under conviction, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally this morning, I want us to just remember his authority on the day of judgment. God the Father has given to his Son, Jesus Christ, the authority as the Lord and Judge of the whole earth. And the Bible tells us that at the end of the world, there's coming a time of solemn eternal separation. And it will be Jesus Christ, the Judge, who will separate between the believer and the unbeliever. I remember, and I just say, share with you this experience. After I experienced this TIA, we were worshiping in a church the next morning. And as I was singing, there was a good number of people there. It was beautiful singing. And we're singing this hymn, and this word came to me. "One shall be taken, the other left." And it came to me with such conviction. Would I be one in this congregation that will be left? When Jesus comes again, when all the Lord's people are raised up together with him, will you be left? If Jesus should come now to this congregation in his second coming, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, who of us will be lifted up? Can you bear the awful thought that you might be left out? That you might not be the one. You might be just the one left in this congregation. Oh, we need to come without delay. We need to come to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to come to this authoritative person now and plead his precious name. Works won't do. Religion won't do. Own righteousness won't do. Only Jesus Christ is sufficient and has the authority to save us and to cleanse us and to make us right with God. And God the Father has given to his Son, Jesus Christ, the authority as the Lord and Judge of the whole earth. The final authority to determine the separation between the saved and the unsaved, the believer and the unbeliever, the discerning eyes of Jesus on that great judgment day. And he will see us through and through. And if we are trusted in him, it will be a most wonderful discernment. Jesus will say, come, come. But if we are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will say, depart. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. So we've considered this morning the evidence provided in the Word of God for this statement. And there's plenty more evidence. I've just paddled a little in the waters of the authority of the Lord Jesus. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And it is on this authority, in Jesus Christ, we preach the gospel of God and we call people to repentance and faith. It is on this authority, not on our authority, but on the authority of the Word of God, as it is recorded, on the authority of Jesus Christ, the person of the Word made flesh and dwelling among us, that we call people to repentance and faith, that we invite sinners to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is only his authority that means anything to you in salvation. The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This is the authority to preach the gospel. Let's just pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, do impress upon our minds now this morning the absolute importance to be one with thee, to be right with God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us this morning in the very innermost part of our being. Can I bear the piercing thought, what if my name, if I should be left out? Oh Lord, we do pray that you would help us with these warnings to come just as we are, and to trust in no one else but the Lord Jesus, and to humble ourselves before him and cry, Lord, help me. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do we thank you that we will not be cast out, that Jesus invites us to come just as we are. So help us, Heavenly Father, do good in thy good pleasure. Build the church here at Mount Zion, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.